This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, August 8th. I'm Patricia Naft. U.S. Fish and Wildlife has made a decision about an endangered species in Colorado, but it's not the sage grouse. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Two species of beer dung, a small purplish wildflower, are only found in parts of the Uinta Basin, which covers parts of Utah and Colorado. Tova Spector is a botanist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
So last year, in August 2013, we proposed to list both grams and White River beard tongues as threatened under the Endangered Species Act because, from our analysis, we found that they face threats from energy development and then also from cumulative effects from energy development, livestock grazing, invasive weeds, small population sizes, and climate change.
After the potential listing was announced, several local and state agencies in Utah and Colorado came together to create a conservation plan to avoid a listing. Fish and Wildlife looked at the plan and found that it will do enough good for the flowers that they won't need to be listed as threatened. Leith Edgar, a regional spokesperson for Fish and Wildlife, says that you can't really use this decision to forecast the pending decision about the Gunnison and Greater Sage Grouse. He says that the cases are just too different. They're still considering the classifications for the sage grouses, but their deadline to make a decision is in November. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The American pika is closely related to a rabbit. They're all about the size of a guinea pig and are found throughout Colorado's high country and other western states. In the early 2000s, pika were being considered for the endangered species list because they are susceptible to climate change. KBNF's Laura Palmisano spoke to Colorado Parks and Wildlife biologist Amy Seglin. Her research shows pika populations are doing well in the state.
Tell me about your research on pika populations in Colorado.
The pika was petitioned to be listed under the Endangered Species Act, so I went out and wanted to look at what the status of the populations were in Colorado. So I coordinated with a student at CU Boulder, and we went out to historical sites, those sites that had been documented to have pika prior to 1980, and we revisited those sites to see whether pika were still present at those sites or not within the state. And that was kind of the first part of the research. And then we've just been documenting locational sites where we've been finding pika across the state just so that we have a large database where we can pull from to know where pika occur.
Where are pika found in Colorado?
Well, surprisingly, we found them at lower elevations than we thought they would occur. And a lot of the mammals of Colorado and some of the information that you can look up, they usually say they go down to 10,000 feet. We were finding them as low as 9,000 feet. So they're not confined to the alpine habitats. They basically can live, you know, in the subalpine and in forests, as long as there's some talus habitat, which is some rocky habitat, where they can live in, and they make haystacks where they cut vegetation and kind of cure the vegetation that they can live on over the winter since they don't hibernate.
Why were they being considered for the endangered species list?
Mainly because they're thought to be susceptible to climate change. With change in warming temperatures, they're pretty sensitive to heat, and then also if precipitation changed during the winter. So if you got more rain than snow, they use the snow as kind of a thermal cover in winter. And so if you are getting kind of, you know, not that thermal cover and more rain and colder temperatures, that may make them susceptible.
What is the estimated pika population in Colorado?
Well, pika are hard to count. They live kind of in what you consider maybe a colony where there's a number of pika living within a talus site. So counting them is really difficult because they're not above ground all at the same time. And seeing them is difficult. Then, like, on a talus slope, thinking there's only, like, one or two pika there, and then a golden eagle will fly over, and then everybody erupts in a warning call, and you know, there's way more pika than you ever thought. So basically what we do, instead of counting pika, is we look at distribution across the state, and we found basically they're distributed across the state in whenever there's suitable habitat.
Where are they found on the western slope?
Pretty much, if you can find some talus slope with good vegetation around it, you're probably going to run into a pika.
So maybe like the Grand Mesa?
Yep, we found them a lot on the Grand Mesa. And some, I actually went to a historical site where it was just this teeny little boulder field where I thought, oh, there are can't be pika here, and there are pika just living in this little tiny boulder outcrop.
As a biologist, what is your opinion on the species? How are they doing?
Well, I think, having been spent a lot of time in the alpine and looking at pika, they're doing very well in the state. Colorado's a very lucky state that we have all this high elevation habitat. There's a lot of connectivity between the populations. You don't really have these isolated sites. They're very well connected. The pika is a rabbit, so you do see some of the populations kind of ebb and flow. You know, one year there may be a lot, next year fewer. But because we have this connectivity and all this abundance of habitat, you know, they're doing very well in the state.
That was Colorado Parks and Wildlife biologist Amy Seglund. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The Colorado Department of Health and Environment released some preliminary numbers of surveys they've been doing across the state in middle and high schools. The survey found that teen cigarette smoking is down. It also found that marijuana use dropped, but by such a small percentage that it was statistically insignificant. They did find that the percentage of teens who perceive marijuana as a risk dropped from 58% to 54%. Julie Messenger is with Partners and the Coalition for a Drug-Free Montrose County.
Marijuana does affect the adolescent brain. The adolescent brain continues to develop at least until the age of 25. Use of marijuana can impede that, especially where the executive function and decision-making portions of the brain are. That's pretty critical to success in later life.
The final results, which include numbers from each county, will be released later this fall. State energy regulators have dropped their lawsuit against the city of Longmont for adopting stricter oil and gas rules that Colorado officials argued infringed on the state's rights. Benta Berkland has more.
The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission voted unanimously to dismiss the lawsuit after Governor John Hickenlooper urged them to do so. The agreement was part of a deal to remove four contentious proposed oil and gas questions from the November ballot. Two of them were backed by 2nd District Democratic Congressman Jared Polis. Earlier this week, Polis said getting rid of the lawsuit would be real progress.
Obviously, the residents of Longmont will have a little bit more certainty. I also hope that this assures other cities that they can look at a thoughtful approach to regs that are consistent with the laws of the state that help balance some of the interests within their municipalities.
In its decision, the COGCC did, however, reserve the right to go back to court with Longmont at a later date. City officials were upset with that decision, wanting the commission to agree to never reintroduce the lawsuit. Longmont's voter-approved ban on fracking is also making its way through the courts. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Allie and the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.